and a warm welcome to the Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show brought to you by The Racing Post. It's Jack Reeve and it's Steve Palmer to look back on two tournaments, to preview three and see what fun we can find in between. Steve, a story of so close yet so far last week, wasn't it, for our golfers?
Yeah. There were high hopes at times, weren't there? I mean, getting Scott Stallings in the playoff at the Sanderson Farms was very exciting, very late night on Sunday night. One of those nights where at the end of it, when it didn't result in the victory, you sort of regret not going to bed at a sensible time. You know, I could have gone to bed at 9 p.m. easily on Sunday night. I was that fatigued, but stayed up till almost 1 a.m. watching the action. Scott Stallings, our 125-1 hope. I mean, he played okay in the playoff. Yeah, two decent shots, but yeah, Luke List hold this absolute snake across the green, and broke my heart in two. But yeah, good each way returns there, and then we'll talk about the Dunhill Links. That was a heartbreaker.
Yeah, I mean, more to the Sanderson Farms than you're sort of making out there, Steve. It was a five-man playoff in the end. Yes. First time that's happened for a few years. Ludvig Åberg, you just can't get rid of that man at the moment. He's always hanging around the top of leaderboards. But in terms of, you know, your selection, Steve, you must have been pleased with the run that they gave you.
Yeah, Stallings putted really well last week. It's always fun when you're on a player who's putting well. And he'll just be kicking himself about that 15th hole. The 15th hole was crucial. It's a drivable par four. He found the greenside bunker. And it looked like a pretty regulation up and down for a birdie, which would have put him in command of the tournament the way Ben Griffin was flapping. Stallings sort of thinned the bunker shot a little bit and then gave himself too much with the putt. So, it was fun in games. But, yeah, we can't be quibbling about getting an 125-1 shot in the places. And Ludvig Åberg, I mean, blimey. I mean, he was 57th in the field for putting, Jack. 57th in the putting stats. And still got into the playoff, which shows how good his ball striking was. I mean, he's all class, as we know. But if he does have a weakness, it's clearly putting. You know, there's times where he doesn't putt well. So, he is human.
In a strange way, I felt somewhat sorry for Ben Griffin, Stevie. Are you a man who enjoys TikTok, or have you not delved onto that platform yet?
Not a TikToker, like a Tic Tac, don't like a TikTok. No, I like the little minty sweets, but no. What was he doing on there then? He doesn't strike me as a TikToker.
No, he's got a brilliant TikTok account, and he sort of does little video blogs of his time on the PGA Tour. And, you know, if I was jealous of golfers' careers before I saw that, I'm now even more jealous, because they sort of, you know, they get fed nice food, they get driven around lovely green golf courses, and you go, oh, what a life. But he seems like a lovely chap and clearly a very talented player. It was Luke List that won that. Any players to note that caught your eye that maybe weren't on the radar before?
Well, Griffin, I mean, it's very difficult to have confidence in Griffin. I mean, he went off 4-7 on Sunday with a three-shot lead. He capitulated late in the Bermuda Championship when he had a chance in that. So, he's had two really, really good chances and let him slip. You know, very wild off the tee. Made five bogeys in his final 11 holes. So I don't think anyone would be rushing to back Ben Griffin. I know these players take time. You've got to learn how to be in contention and hold yourself together. But yeah, maybe it'll be better next time. That's heartbreaking for his mother. If you had stayed up and watched it, Jack, they did the classic thing where they put the mother next to the 72nd hole while their son's on the brink of victory. And the brother as well was there. When he's in the, he's hit a great tee shot at 18. You know, par to win, great tee shot. But then he's pulled it left. You know, he had all the world on the right of the pin. Pulled it left, horrific course management error, and then couldn't get up and down. And then the mum looked completely broken. He knew he had no chance in the playoff, really, because he was mentally gone. But Luke List held a snake. Scott Stallings we're happy with. Ludvig Åberg, I mean, it's not out of second gear there. And then the Dunhill leaked into Monday.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because much like the Sanderson Farms, if you sort of look at the winner, it doesn't quite tell the whole story. Matt Fitzpatrick went on to win the Alfred Dunhill, but kind of marred by just horrendous weather conditions, Steve. I mean, it was reduced to 54 holes. I was seeing images on the Sunday evening on Twitter, and I just assumed it would be called off, and then kind of saw that they were resuming play again. Was that the right call to do so?
there is an element of controversy to this because yesterday on the Monday they could tee off at St Andrews and King's Barnes at 9 a.m. but they had to delay until 11:30 at Carnoustie because that was the course that was affected so badly. Lots of people have been suggesting to me that Carnoustie was still unplayable yesterday. It was a flooded golf course, but the desperation to finish it, it's a big prize purse. It's not the sort of tournament you want to cancel. My instinct on these things is always just push them into Tuesday. I wanted them to push on into Tuesday. Why can't you do that? I know players need to get to Spain for that tournament, but there's still time. I think the celebrity element of it never helps with this one because all these celebs have got busy schedules and they didn't want to hang around till Tuesday. But there's an element of controversy to how bad Carnoustie was yesterday. That's for sure.
I'm never a fan of these tournaments from a punting perspective, Steve, going into them because, three different courses, you've got so many, you've got enough variables in golf as it is. Throw two more courses in than you normally have. You mentioned that they were teeing off on different times on the Monday. What happens if there's a playoff and, players are an hour apart from each other? It is a difficult format to try and unpick, isn't it?
Well, it would have been very amusing had Marcus Armitage, because Marcus Armitage was playing at Carnoustie and playing really well. If he tied Matt Fitzpatrick, then you would have had to have get Marcus Armitage from Carnoustie to St Andrews for the playoff, which would have taken a lot of time. Yeah, I think the tournament organisers would have been so relieved that Fitzpatrick played so well on the Sunday and got the job done. I mean, the contrast, what struck me more than anything is not really golf related. The contrast in weather from one end of the British Isles to the other. I mean, I live obviously at the other end and it was beautiful sunny weather in South Dorset and then flooding in Scotland. I would happily have swapped one of my sunny days for one of the wet days with Scotland because I wanted 72 holes because of Grant Forrest. I mean, I don't know if you were following Grant Forrest, yeah. Travails. I mean, it was a gut buster for Grant Forrest fans because we're on him at 70-1. It got eight each way places and he's playing Carnoustie on that horrible day yesterday. And he's one shot behind going into the final round. I knew winning would have been very, very tough, even if Carnoustie was in perfect weather. You're tough to win on that track. But to cut a long story short, we got three tournaments. He's going up the last hole, his last hole. It's a shotgun start at Carnoustie. So his last hole was the 13th, a 174-yard par three. He needs a par to finish sixth. So I'm thinking, come on, just par. Middle of the green, nice soft green. Surely he's going to make a par there. And there was no way of me watching that. It was just the instant hit agony of him putting a bogey on the card. So he bogeyed that hole and dropped from sixth to 10th and no return. I felt a little bit cheated by that.
Have you withdrawn from the Grant Forrest fan club then?
I don't know. I've been close to some fantastic each way returns from Grant Forrest. I think the final hole of the Scottish Open when we was on him, it went wrong, if I remember rightly. You're right about that tournament. We have to tread carefully. I mean, we did tread carefully with big prices. And the reason we avoided the market leaders was for all these reasons. But it actually helped Fitzpatrick and the Ryder Cup boys, didn't it? Because he had the weekend off. We're talking about how tired he's going to be. He had the whole weekend doing nothing. And by Monday, his batteries are recharged and he's ready to put in a good shift on Monday. So, it all went perfectly for Fitzpatrick. Not so Grant Forrest.
Yeah, without wanting to throw you under the bus, Steve, because I was of the same thought process last week as well. But we avoided the Ryder Cup players because of potential tiredness, the come down of what was a magical event. You had Aberg going really well in the Sanderson Farms and you had Fitzpatrick winning the Alfred Dunhill. I mean, are we just talking about two elite players here who are an anomaly or, do we maybe regret that kind of line of thinking?
I couldn't see the whole weekend being washed out like that. I mean, we knew the wind was going to be bad, but the rain didn't look quite as bad as that. So I'm not going to beat myself up. If you want to beat me up, Jack, you beat me up. But I'm not going to beat myself up. Just before we leave the Dunhill, we must mention Richie Ramsey, because there's any betting shop punters out there who haven't collected up their stakes from that. Richie Ramsey was a non-runner. He was ill. He didn't tee up. Online you should get your money back automatically and it should be there by now, but if you did it in the betting shop, you need to get down the betting shop and get your stake.
Absolutely, yeah, nice public service announcement. Should we move on to this week's tournament, Steve?
Yes, I am excited. I was downbeat yesterday when Grant Forrest got denied the place, but I am upbeat now because I see this as a massive opportunity.
Good. Three tournaments, of course, a live event to look ahead to as well. We'll get onto that near the end of the show. We shall start in Spain on the DP World Tour. Open d'España. There is a well-known favourite, John Rahm, 11-5, 14-1, Justin Rose, 25-1, Yannick Paul, 28-1, Adrian Ategi, 30-1, Joost Luton. Bigger the rest. Steve, where are we? What are we playing for? How excited are you?
Joost Luton, based at Kenilworth Road. We're at Club de Campo. That's better. Lauton. We're at Club de Campo, Villa de Madrid, Madrid, Spain. 7,112 yards, par 71, three par fives, lots of short par fours you can gun at. We've got loads of course room to go through, Spanish Opens, Madrid Masters. But the most recent and most relevant are the Spanish Opens of 2019, 2021 and last year. The average winning score in those three events was 22 under par. So this is a classic Parkland track that's there to be overwhelmed by tour professionals. The course record holder we must give a mention to, it remains Mr. Ivo Jina. Ivo Jina carded a round of 60 in the 2005 Madrid Open at Club de Campo. We got sunny and calm weather this week, so maybe finally, after this long wait, someone can expunge Ivo Jina from the record books. We got a field of 144 going to post.
I always love previewing this tournament with you, Steve, to see how you're going to attack it. Now, John Rahm, he's won this tournament three times before. He's won eight times in 23 DP World Tour starts. He is a master when it comes to, you know, this circuit. He's going off, you know, around about 2-1, slightly bigger this week. Are we going with Rahm or are we looking away?
11-5 is available as we live and breathe. I think it's a perfectly fair price. We are going for John Rahm. The weather forecast is great. Is fantastic. There's no reason not to be backing John Rahm for this golf tournament. I can't see anyone troubling him. I don't think there's anyone in this field over 72 holes, which we're guaranteed, barring injury and illness. You never know when a human being is going to get injured or ill. You know, he might trap a hand in a car door. One of his kids might punch him in the face. Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. All right? I must say that, stress that. Barring injury and illness, I think John Rahm will win this golf tournament comfortably. He won by 5 shots on his Club de Campo debut in 2019. He won last year by 6 shots. So his two wins here have been emphatic. I think we're going to get another one of them. He closed with a 62 last year. I think we can safely say he's got a handle on Club de Campo. And in that field last year was Minwoo Lee, Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood and Minwoo Lee, neither of them are playing this week. I can't see anyone in this field who can topple Rahm over 72 holes. I was toying with Yannick Paul. Yannick Paul was eighth last year. Then he won in Mallorca. Yannick Paul was a possibility, but he had a late tee time at soggy Carnoustie. Did we mention that they went off later at Carnoustie? 11:30. So, sort of tee time yesterday. He's still slogging around a soggy Carnoustie, Yannick Paul. Yeah, that is far from ideal preparation. There was a few players that got finished early, could jet off, but he had a long day yesterday, did Yannick Paul. All the Dunhill competitors are going to be later than they planned arriving in Spain. You know, they had dirty shoes. Rahm has no such concerns. He had a nice week off after the Ryder Cup and he played superbly in the Ryder Cup, didn't he, James?
He was absolutely brilliant. I mean, I guess to play devil's advocate here, Steve, are there concerns that Rahm may have had a complete week off and might be somewhat rusty coming back with golf club in hand? Or are you confident this man can just get the job done?
I hope he has had a complete week off. I mean, I hope he took a full week off after the Ryder Cup and come back this week. It's not like he had a big gap before the Ryder Cup. You know, he was fourth in the BMW PGA Championship. And then he produced some of his best golf of the whole year in the Ryder Cup. I mean, talk about peaking for when it matters most. He was unbeaten through those four matches that he played. He played really well at Wentworth, as I say, in the BMW PGA. I think he's got that perfect blend of form and freshness to produce his best this week. And you mentioned that figure, 23 regulation DP World Tour events he's played in. He's won 8 of them. I mean, the strike, isn't it? Yeah. It's an amazing strike rate. Yeah, 2 Irish Opens, 3 DP World Tour Championships. Yeah, it's not like, yeah, you get great fields in there every year. 3 Spanish Opens, twice runner-up in the BMW PGA at Wentworth. So it could have been even more impressive, that statistic. Yeah, when he's a big fish in a small pond, he's absolutely deadly. Yeah, it's like throwing a shark into a little goldfish pond, isn't it? Yeah, we all know what happens in that scenario. I know you're going into play.
No, I was just, you know, from shark analogy. I think sometimes the risk with these players, you know, maybe they rock up and pick up their appearance fee and sign some autographs and go home. But Rahm loves this event. Oh. He loves the history that comes with it. And he's turning up to win.
He's a highly motivated shark, Jack. You make a very good point, because his hero is Seve Ballesteros. Seve Ballesteros has won 3 Spanish Opens. John Rahm has won 3 Spanish Opens. So John Rahm is looking to set the bar now as the most prolific winner of the Spanish Open. He's desperate to get that full Spanish Open title. Yeah, there's no going quietly about your business about Rahm. He'll have huge galleries. You know, he's ready for this. He relishes the huge galleries. Now, the only time he hasn't won at Club de Campo, he's played there 3 times, was in 2021. But at the end of 2021, he mentally down tools for the year. He was absolutely frazzled because he had
Steve,
that.
Steve, was this the heartbreak of Arnaus that year? Adrian Arnaus, was that 2021?
I think it was. Yeah, it was. Mm. Yeah.
We were on him, lost in a playoff.
Yes. Yeah, it was a sore loss.
I've just unearthed some unhealed trauma now, haven't I?
You have. I may need a moment to get over that one. I thought I was over that one, but maybe I'm not. He was frazzled, John Rahm, at the end of that year, because he had a FedEx Cup duel with Patrick Cantlay, you might remember, in the Tour Championship. He lost that. Then he went to the Ryder Cup and was on a European side that was absolutely destroyed at Whistling Straits. You know, Rahm had lost his mojo at the end of 2021, but this time he's full of beans. You know, he's really, really, really happy. I think he'll be relishing this. I can't see him being beaten.
Great stuff. Well, all in on Rahm. How many other selections for the Open d'España?
Just one. Okay. I mean, you could have all your eggs in one basket, and I would fully understand that tactic. But I just want to get a little bit of place money as well from Marcus Helikilde. He's 60-1. Plenty of 60-1 available. I mean, I toyed with Yannick Paul. I toyed with Nicholas Norgaard. But I think at the prices, Helikilde is the best backup to John Rahm. He's won 3 times on the Challenge Tour. The last of them came in Spain in the 2021 Challenge Tour Grand Final. He's also won 2 in Spain on the Nordic Golf League. His record in Spain generally, if you go for every appearance in Spain, he loves it there. And surely he's never arrived in Spain with more self-belief than he's got now. I mean, he was runner-up in the Korea Championship in April. He was getting closer to that DP World Tour breakthrough. He was 4th in the ISPS Handa World Invitation in August. He was 13th at Cranfer Fier. He opened with a 64 at Wentworth. I mean, come on. This boy is showing us his talent now. He finished 25th at Wentworth. And then, as I say, I mentioned some players were able to get on the plane to Spain early. He cruised home at King's Barnes early on yesterday morning, Monday morning, finished 37th in the Dunhill. I think he might be fresher than a few of the other Dunhill boys. 27-year-old who's going to win soon. Maybe he can give Rahm a game this week.
Okay, a friend to go to battle with John Rahm. That is the Open d'España. Let's move over to the Shriners Children Open at TPC Summerlin. Steve, what can we expect here?
Yes, we're in Las Vegas, Nevada. 7,255 yards, par 71, 3 par 5s. It's been part of this event since 1992, but we used to have loads of courses. It used to be a 5-rounder. So I'd concentrate on from 2008 onwards, it was exclusively at Summerlin. And it's always been a doddle for the Tour pros. Short by modern standards, played at altitude. So find the fairways and then you can attack these pins and you can make a feast of birdies. Sunny and calm weather waiting, 144 runners.
We love sunny and calm weather. Let's take a look at the top of the market. Ludwig Eber, 12-1 favourite alongside Tom Kim, same price. Cam Davis, 22. Siwoo Kim, 22-1. Adam Scheck, 30-1. JT Poston, 30-1. And JJ Spawn, 30-1. Bigger the rest. Steve, a man at the top of the market here that we're talking about probably more than most at the moment. Are we going similar to the Spanish Open, or going with the favourite, or looking elsewhere for this one?
I think the fact we're talking about him a lot lately is the reason to avoid him, actually. Yeah, I think his hectic schedule is too much. We're going to go with Tom Kim. Tom Kim at 12-1. I would make clear favourite ahead of Abair for this, because when the opening shows came out yesterday, you could get to 14-1 about both of these guys. You know I'm Ludwig's biggest fan, but I couldn't have him ahead of Kim for this one. Yeah, it's been such a demanding fortnight for Abair.
Just on that, Steve, was that concern not sort of flattened last week when the excuse last week was hectic schedule, rocked up, nearly won? Is that not, what we're looking at this week as well?
another 72 holes in Mississippi, losing a playoff. You know, it wasn't a week he just breezed through, was it? So I think after a Ryder Cup debut in Italy, playing again, I think he could hit a wall this week. You know, he's going from Rome to Mississippi. Now he's got to get to Nevada. I mean, none of these places are close to each other. No. I think he's and bear in mind, never played TPC Summerlin, course debut. It's a course at altitude. You know, very hard to get your clubbing right when you're playing courses at altitude. He said last week's course he found very straightforward. He was able to turn up. You know, it's all in front of you. Yeah, TPC Summerlin will catch him out a little bit, I think, on clubbing. So, yeah, obviously he could overcome all these handicaps and win, but I just much prefer Tom Kim at the prices and would make Tom Kim favourite. Yeah, much quieter build-up to the event for Kim, which I think is crucial. Do you remember the Open Championship? You were there, weren't you?
Yeah, I was there. Just sustained
ankle injury. Remember the ankle injury?
Yes, so, yeah.
Tom Kim, ankle injury at Royal Liverpool in July. Needed time.
Fall in his patio or something, wasn't it?
Yes, had a slip at where he was staying. And it needs, time is a great healer, as you know. many a heartbreak has been healed from that.
Not Adrian out. Time's not healed.
No, it hasn't. 2 years not enough. But for this particular injury, Tom Kim has said it needs time to heal. He's played five times since the Open. He's played really well, so he's got the injury under control. But I love the fact that he's had 2 weeks off before this Shriners title defence. I think that guarantees full fitness. I think it guarantees a stout defence of his title. He won the Shriners last year. You probably remember this one in courageous fashion. You know, he was up against Patrick Cantlay in a final round duel. You know, Cantlay had a great record on this track. Kim was completely fearless in that two ball and eventually got the better of Cantlay on the final hole. Cantlay capitulated on the final hole. You know, Tom Kim's temperament is incredible. I think his first victory of the year will come this week. The US Open in June was a turning point for Kim's year. He finished eighth there. He was sixth in the Scottish Open. He was runner-up in the Open Championship despite that ankle issue. He was solid in the FedEx Cup playoffs, 18th on his Wentworth debut last month, and then sixth last time out in the French Open, on his French Open debut. You know, he was peppering pins in the French Open. You know, some of his iron play at the Golf National was outrageous, and he's putting well again. And now he comes to a course where he finished 24 under par on his debut last year, matched the 72-hole scoring record, bogey-free. It all points to Thomas the Tank Engine for me. Tickets, please.
And one-way ticket to the winner's enclosure.
That's it.
Does defending a championship add pressure, Steve? Do you read anything into that?
I'm not sure anything adds pressure to Tom Kim. I don't think there's not many people on the planet cooler than him. You know, I mentioned before, he's fluent in about 100 million languages. Like, he can basically turn up anywhere in the world and be able to talk to him in their mother tongue. And he must have very, very good parents. I mean, they've brought up an incredible young man. He won two PGA Tour events when at the age of 20. Is that right? I think we're talking about someone who in here is a little bit different to your average Charlie.
That's something which is not very good at as Brits, isn't it? Speaking multiple languages. I mean, yeah. I can barely speak English.
We get a little bit arrogant, don't we?
Massively.
You speak superbly. My wife was saying the other day, because she tuned in the other day to see the new presenter, and she said, "Oh, isn't he so well spoken? He's she's very very impressed. Yeah, but yeah, you're right. I got a D. My worst ever grade in any level of my education was the D I got in French.
I failed French as well. Yeah, yeah.
Did you? I was appalling in French, and maybe we were lackluster. I think I would suggest I was lackluster. I didn't have the appetite for French, and the results speak for itself. So you're right. The English are a disgrace when it comes to learning other languages.
In terms of full circle moments, Steve, you know, we often have them in life. French was my only GCC that I failed. And then last year, my old French teacher moved into the house next to me.
Oh my gosh, tormenting you.
What are the chances there? Extracurricular lessons. It's always going, you know, you can pass it 10 years on.
She's giving you one last go at her passing, is she?
Absolutely. Very, very strange.
I used to really fancy my French teacher, actually.
Did you?
Like, yeah, that's probably another reason put me off a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
Was it the accent, do you think?
Miss was an absolute crack. Yeah. Oh, that's going to get edited, isn't it?
How many other selections alongside Tom Kim?
Three.
Three. Okay, let's get your second selection away from the French teachers.
It's Siwoo Kim. We're going Kim.
Yes.
Kim Crazy. We're going Kim Crazy this week. Siwoo Kim, my lord. They paired up together in the President's Cup last year for a famous victory over Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. You must remember that.
I do. I love Siwoo Kim.
Yeah, I know you do. Rightly so. Yeah, maybe the Kims will be paired together on Sunday in the final tuple of the Shriners. I would love that, and I'm sure you would too. Mm. You know, Siwoo relishes this layout as much as Tom Kim. Siwoo was 15th in 2018, 8th in 2020, 8th again last year. He won his fourth PGA Tour title in the Sony Open in January. He was second in the Byron Nelson in May. He was fourth in the Memorial in June. Then he had a solid FedEx Cup playoffs. Then some people might think he's been inactive since the Tour Championship. Not on your Nelly. He was actually busy preparing for and playing in the biggest tournament of his life, I would argue.
Yeah.
Because this year, for the first time ever, professional golfers were allowed to enter the Asian Games. Have you been reading up on this one, Jeff?
I have. It was alongside the Ryder Cup, wasn't it? And I was just as interested in... it was Kim and... who else was it?
Sungjae,
of course it was. Yeah.
So a gold medal at the Asian Games has always meant an exemption from the 2 years of military service that the South Koreans have to do before their mid-30s. I think it's 35, but you have to do it by... So what an opportunity this was for Siwoo and Sungjae. You know, great opportunity, and they've taken it with both hands. Siwoo Kim and Sungjae Im entered the Asian Games. The Korean side won the team gold medal by 25 shots. They left nothing to chance there. And, yeah, they no longer need to take this two-year military service, which, you know, can obliterate careers. You see what happened to Sangmun Bai. The relief for these guys will be enormous. I think they go from strength to strength. It's always going to be in the back of your mind, isn't it, that your career is going to go on hold for 2 years. Now, free of that tension, I think Siwoo, you know, he's a PGA Tour soldier forevermore.
I just can't imagine the pressure that must be going through them. You know, so much on that. I remember as a kid, you know, you'd do putting competitions. You used to play 9-hole putting competitions and the winner would get a pack of fruit pastels. And I remember you'd be stood over your last 4-foot putt shaking with nerves.
Yes.
And that was for some confectionery. I mean, imagine it to avoid going in the army. It's just baffling.
Well, the Olympics was the other chance they got in it. Whenever they went to the Olympics, the pressure on those Koreans was enormous, because that was another way any medal in the Olympics would have got them the 2 years of freedom. But this Asian Games opportunity came up. And I think Siwoo just and Sungjae is too busy celebrating. He's not even playing in this. He won this 2 years ago. He's just dancing in the streets. But Siwoo's back down to business. But, so that was the week before last. Yeah, this is a week for the Kims.
You're preaching to the converter. I think we've discussed one of my lowest punting moments in our house. That was a gut puncher. Siwoo Kim winning the Amex, one of my favourite moments. It was the same weekend Tyrrell Hatton won, wasn't it? Over in Abu Dhabi or somewhere.
Yes.
Just great times. Simpler times, Steve. Simpler times.
Yeah, halcyon days.
Who are we adding to the portfolio alongside Kim and Kim?
Keeping the faith with Davis Thompson, easy to back at 45-1, a former world number one amateur. I see winning on the PGA Tour fairly soon. We got a decent run for our money last week. He ended up 16th. From July onwards, he's been playing really nicely. He hasn't seriously contended since finishing runner-up to John Rahm in the aforementioned Amex. But I think he's going to contend very seriously soon. He's a huge runner in low-grade events like this one. He finished 12th on his Shriners debut last year, 4 rounds in the 60s. I think he'll be the leading American this week.
Okay, very short and sweet. That just happy with what you're seeing, happy with the price, move on.
Yeah. I mean, I've got Live Golf Jeddah lurking in the back of my brain there. I'm aware we've got three on the go, haven't we?
One step at a time. Your fourth and your final selection for the Shriners.
Vincent Norman. 40-1 is out there. I think that's an absolute bargain. I mean, Ludwig Bauer, as you mentioned, has been hogging all the headlines, but his great friend Vincent Norman has been doing wonderful things as well. He won the Barbasol Championship for us in July. Then he won the Irish Open a month ago. He was 18th on his BMW PGA Championship debut last time out. Such a solid opening gambit at Wentworth. 70-70, 69-69. The performances of Aubert will be inspiring, Norman. He's got two R's in his surname. For anyone who doesn't know what what I'm talking about here. I mean, it's a very strange spelling of Norman, isn't it?
I like that spelling. I like the double R. It looks nice on paper, yeah.
I love it. But yeah, Bruce started calling him that, and I'm going to go with it. I mean, yeah, Vincent Norman. And there was talk. I saw Ludwig Bear interviewed a couple of months ago, and there was talk of them moving into a house together.
Wow.
I think, maybe moving a house together in Florida. I think Bear is based in Texas at the moment. Basically, these two are like two peas in a pod, and they're inspiring each other. And I think the fresher of those two players is the value for the Shriners. Norman missed the cut by a shot in his Shriners debut last year. He's returned an entirely different animal, much more confident.
Of all the wonderful things Bruce Millington did for the Racing Post, his legacy will be the way he pronounced Vincent Norman's name.
I think you're right.
I feel like a school teacher, Steve, in a sense of I can tell that there was something around the corner that you're far more excited for, but I needed to keep you, on task with the assignment of the Shriners. So shall we move over to Liv? Because I can tell you're chomping at the bit here.
Yes. So yeah, I'm building up to something. I just want to alert punters to the opportunity of we'll get to it.
We will. Liv Jenner, Royal Greens Golf and Country Club. Talk us through it, Steve.
Yes, it's in King Abdullah Economic City, Saudi Arabia. 7,010 yards, par 70, only two par fives. Royal Greens hosted the Saudi International for the first time in 2019. It was a DP World Tour event back then. For 3 years, it was a DP World Tour event. Then it became an Asian Tour event from 2022 onwards. We also have the inaugural Live Golf Jeddah there a year ago. So we've got six pieces of course form to study. It's a course which plays into the hands of long drivers, lots of corners that they can cut. We've got a bit of breeze this week, but there should still be loads of birdies. And the players will appreciate that breeze. We got temperatures in the high 30s throughout. Cool. We might have a real feel going.
At least they can wear shorts.
Yeah. But I mean, it'll feel it. Yeah, incredibly hot. 40C. We could have a bit of 40C real feel. And then usual rules apply. Field of 48, no cut, three rounds, $4 million to the winner. And the start time is 10:15 a.m. on Friday for UK and Ireland viewers. Get it on the Live Golf Plus app.
How many selections, Steve?
Two.
Tell me why you're so excited with your headline pick.
Well, I'm excited about putting all my headline picks together, and we'll come to that, because you put the three together and the odds become so sexy. but the best bet in this is Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson.
DJ, okay. I wasn't expecting that.
You weren't expecting that.
No, I wasn't.
Back at 11-1. I like surprising you. 11-1 generally. DJ and Royal Greens have had a long love affair since the course opened. He won the inaugural Saudi International with a 19 under par total. He was runner up on his title defence in 2020. He won a second Saudi International in 2021. Didn't putt well. He putted poorly in that tournament, but it didn't matter because from tee to green, he made the course look an absolute doddle. Johnson was 44 under par for those first three Saudi Internationals. Then he was eighth in 2022. Couldn't play this year due to injury. So his form figures at the Saudi International are 1-2-1-8. And then in the inaugural Live Golf Jeddah last year, he finished fifth. He was only two shots outside of the playoff. So those course credentials are emphatic. He always swaggers into Royal Greens like he owns the joint. And I think that'll be no different this week. You might get some players feeling a bit edgy about jetting to the Middle East amid all the horrors unfolding at the moment. DJ probably doesn't even know about him, knowing him. if he did, he would just shrug it off anyway. He's an unflappable character, isn't he? I think he's determined to finish the season strongly as well. I saw an interview where he was pretty cheesed off about not being in the Ryder Cup yet. Yeah, remember, he's missed a 5-0 at Whistling Straits and then ignored this time. He felt he should have been picked. He was 10th in Live Chicago last time out. So, yeah, all about the DJ and Jeddah.
Okay, DJ. Now, I was expecting you to go for Bryson, who just seems to be on cloud nine at the moment. Let's talk about him at the end. We'll get your other selection before we talk about Bryson. Okay. Who is your second selection for this?
It is the 66-1 chance of David Puig. We had the other day as well. I think 66-1 is an astonishing price given how well he's been playing. I mean, he qualified for the US Open, finished 39th. He was fourth in Live Golf Greenbrier. And his Asian Tour form figures are 4-14-11-1. He won in Singapore at the weekend by five shots. Absolutely dominated that event from start to finish. He made his Royal Greens debut this year in the Saudi International and finished 53rd, but he was outside the world's top 1,000 since then. Yeah, this is a player that's just gone boom. He's only 21 and he's, yeah, the penny has dropped, as they say in greyhound racing. He's a much more confident character in the form of his life.
And we've also got the smoothest swinging golfer on planet Earth returning to live, haven't we? Have you seen the news that he's back from injury?
Yeah. He played well on his return. Yeah, he played in Chicago and played okay. Yeah. Your man Sam Horsfield.
Indeed.
Yeah, I respect him this week, but I just want lots of my eggs for these three big
you
guns.
Want lots of eggs, absolutely. Let's have a quick word on Bryson, who is your 8-1 favourite for this event. I mean,
yeah,
I guess it's going to be difficult to put people off him, isn't it, going into this?
Yeah, it's just the course credentials of DJ compared to Bryson. Yeah, Bryson's had a miscut round here. He just doesn't get on with the course in the same fashion as Dustin. Plus, there's some breeze in the forecast. I'd always prefer Dustin Johnson over DeChambeau in a breeze. And he's a shorter price. Yeah, 11-1 DJ, 8-1 Bryson. Yeah, for me, Johnson was the value. He's the king of Jeddah. Never mind King Abdullah. Yeah, apologies to King Abdullah, but it might be DJ as well.
You talk about him owning the, you know, walk around like he owns the place. He probably could own the place based off the amount of money he's won out there.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, no, he will feel like the king of Jeddah.
So we've got John Rahm, we've got Tom Kim, and we've got Dustin Johnson. How are you advising punters play this week? Because you've got three players there who you've made solid cases for.
Well, this is what's so exciting. This is why I've completely forgotten about Grant Forrest-Bogey at the 174-yard 13th yesterday, as you can see. And I've moved on. I've moved on to pastures new because, yeah, when you put those three world-class powerhouses, I'm talking about in status terms. Yeah, these are three of the best golfers in the world, and you put them together, and at the prices, let me just get it out there. I'm mumbling away like an idiot, but yeah, basically, John Rahm 2-1, Tom Kim, say you got 12, it's 12-1 best at the most. So John Rahm 2-1, Tom Kim 12-1, Dustin Johnson 11-1. So in a treble, that comes to 467-1. And the places, if you're getting a quarter of the odds, those prices, which you can, as we live and breathe now. The places pay more than 20-1. So an each way treble on Rahm, Kim and DJ could provide all sorts.
It could provide plenty of fun, Steve, if that clicks. Of course, it doesn't happen. But if it does happen.
Plenty of fun for your hobby there, guys. Rahm, Kim, Johnson.
Right. Should we quickly review all of the players we've discussed and you've tipped up? We shall start in Spain, Steve.
8 selections across 3 tournaments. You say the name of the tournament. I'll say the name of the players.
So we've done this before. Open de España.
John Rahm. Marcus Hillikilde.
Shriners Children's Open.
Tom Kim. Siwoo Kim. Davis Thompson. Vincent Norman.
And Liv Jeddah.
Dustin Johnson, David Puig.
Nicely read. What does the rest of the week hold for you, Steve? You seem in a good headspace at the moment, which is good.
I'm excited, Jack. I really am genuinely excited. It's got nothing to do with my old French teacher. I am excited about this each-way treble. I think it's a great opportunity. It's there for you. Ring every little bit out of it. And then I'll see you next Tuesday and see how we got on.
Careful. Thanks very much for watching this week's episode of The Sweet Spot. We'll be back next week to take a look at the Zozo Championship and Live Miami. Steve, of course, has put up a lot of selections. Please don't feel the need to back them all. And if you do, only ever gamble with money that you can afford to lose. Steve, thank you. Thanks to producer Will. Stay safe, everyone. Bye-bye.